In today's politically charged climate, there's a growing suspicion about the credibility of the Christian faith. In fact, those who are devoted to Jesus Christ are often made to feel that our core beliefs are anchored in little more than blind faith and fairy tales. In a day of such uncertainty, it's comforting to know that we serve a God who offers His children absolute assurance. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from 1 John chapter 5, where we find bold statements that bolster our confidence. Chuck titled today's message, Absolute Assurance.
If you love music, it isn't long before you come in the sacred realm to the name of Charles Wesley, the composer of the hymn you just and I just enjoyed so much. For you who are still bearing children, don't give up with just a few. Susanna Wesley had 19, and number 18 was Charles. So if you stop too short, aren't we grateful for the thousands of hymns that live in his legacy? Not enough of them remain in our hymnal today. He and his older brother John were known for their method of walking with Christ and serving Christ and loving Christ in their years at Oxford. And the method of their technique came to be known as the beginning of the Methodist Church. Began there in that place of their deep devotion where they served Christ and sought to make him known in others' lives, though they were even back then mocked, even in the 18th century. It goes on today, doesn't it? We're finishing the letter of 1 John today, and we'd love to have you follow along in the reading of the last section. 1 John chapter 5, if you're unfamiliar with your Bible, it's very near the end of the New Testament. We have John's final words in his first letter, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. If you are able to do this, we would love to have you stand with others around you for the reading of the scriptures. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Verse 18. We know that no one who is born of God sins. By that he means habitually, as a regular habit of life. But he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. May God bless the reading and the living out of the truth of his word. Please be seated.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Absolute Assurance.
A letter of assurance is a lovely thing. There's something endearing and enduring about such letters. Endearing because the one who is writing such a letter is telling you how valuable you are to to her or him. And enduring because you can turn to the letter over and over again. Letters of assurance are the kinds of things we often hold on to. Cynthia and I on occasion will receive a note or a letter from someone we may or may not know, and in reading it, the kind words are said, and almost to the point where I wonder, did they really mean to send that to us? I mean, I just had no idea. And she will say, rather than my comment, she will say, that's a framer. You need to frame that letter. Perhaps you have some framed letters in your past. Two boys in the great Northwest certainly do. They've been reading their letters for years. Letters that they open on their birthdays with dates and place, and always their mother's familiar handwriting, and letters sent when they graduate from that grade and move on to the next. They will someday read letters of congratulations as they graduate from high school. Every Christmas, there's a letter from their mom under the tree. These boys are so familiar with letters of affection and assurance from their mom. And I should mention special letters they will someday open on the day of their wedding, as she has written their brides-to-be, to tell her of her love for them and to assure them of her love for the sons they are marrying. You see, their mother died years ago. And before her death, during those agonizing days and months even, she decided rather than simply to curl up in the bed and groan and complain her life away, she would invest her life in writing. And so she began to write to each of her sons by name, checking the calendar of the future, knowing what date it will be or what season it will be when they are at that stage in life. And every so often through the year, their dad will take the letter that he's been keeping and give it to them. They'll slice it open and they'll read her words of assurance. John has written a frameable letter. It's a letter of assurance. But it isn't all that John wrote, though his handwriting was feeble by now in his mid-90s. He didn't want to pass before he left in his legacy three letters along with the Apocalypsis he wrote at the top, the Revelation. We've studied that, all 22 chapters, and what a magnificent piece it is for us to turn to in these last days. But he is also the one who wrote the Gospel by John. Interestingly, the purpose of writing the Gospel is quite different from the purpose of writing his first letter. And the person to whom he wrote the Gospel is different in his mind than the person he has in mind in the writing of the letter. Open your Bible to John chapter 20 and verse 31, and you will see the reason he wrote the Gospel. You'll notice, first of all, for whom it was written. Let me begin at verse 30. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. To whom did he write the letter? To those who were lost. He wrote the letter for those who were seeking evidence, hard, rock-solid evidence. even miraculous signs that prove he wasn't just another man, but in fact had come from God and was in fact God. These are written that you may believe. The purpose for writing is that the reader who is searching for that evidence will find it in these seven miracles in the gospel, and finding those, coming to terms with those, he or she will trust in the one who performed them, and as a result will have life in his name. Don't know if you've thought about it before, but the finest tract you could ever give someone who is lost is a copy of the Gospel of John, written to those who don't know the Savior for the purpose of convincing those who are searching for one to find him in the writings of this old man's gospel. When you get to the letter of 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, you notice a contrast. This letter is not written to those who are lost, but to those who have already believed. Look at 13. "These things I have written to you who believe," not who have yet to believe, but who now believe. You who have been walking with Christ, you who have trusted in Jesus as your own master. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." And why, John? Why have you written that? "Since we already believe, so that you may know." That's one of his favorite words. Certainly in these verses that are at the end of the letter, it's his favorite. In 6 of the 8 verses, the word "know" or the word "confidence" appears. "These are written that you may know where you stand in your eternal life relationship with God." Isn't that helpful? When you read the gospel, you read it through the eyes of an unbeliever for the purpose of coming to know the Savior, the miracle-working Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. But when you read the letter of 1 John, you read it as a believer through the eyes of one who has already trusted him. And the desire of the writer, John, is that you not only believe it, but you live it. And as a result, you have confidence in it. In fact, there are 8 bold statements of confidence in these verses. If you have your pen ready, let me give you words to underscore. Verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe, so that you may know." K-N-O-W, underscore it. Next verse. "This is the confidence which we have in him." Underscore confidence. There's assurance in the word that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, "And if we know," underscore it, "that he hears us in whatever we ask." We know, underscore it. Already 4 times in a few verses. Down in verse 18, it appears again. We know. Verse 19, we know. Verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may," the 8th time, "know." I weary of the cynic who sees a Christian who knows his way in life, viewing that as arrogance or bigotry. Neither is true. Arrogance and bigotry come from pride. They are sinful. Confidence is not sinful. It has a very practical purpose in life. We long to be around people, not who are arrogant, but who are confident. The next time you take a flight, you don't want to hear the pilot saying as he gets on, "I sure hope what I know what all those buttons and knobs mean. I got the book here. I sure hope." Whoa! You're getting ready to change flights. Why? Because you want a pilot who knows. If you need surgery and the doctor says, "Now, the appendix, let's see, now, no, not that side. Wait a minute, let me check." You go, "I'm going to get another opinion." You at least need to know where the appendix is before you start cutting. Why? Because you want a surgeon who knows. Someone going into combat needs to know how to do warfare, to know the weapon, to know the strategy, to know the plan, to know what to do when captured, to know how to conduct herself or himself in uniform. You want soldiers who know. How about somebody working on your car? Ever had this happen? You drive in the shop and the guy walks out, grease all over him, got rag, he's wiping his hands off. What you need? Well, this thing is knocking and I'm leaving a lot of oil in it. Oh, really? Okay, why don't you lift the hood? Okay, lift the hood. He goes, Now, that's a carburetor, right? Right here? And that's this. Click. Hood goes down. What do? You go to somebody who knows the car. Been around a mechanic like that? He hears a knock. He says, that's a water pump. Shazam. How does he know that? He knows engines. He knows cars. And he'll say, it's the gasket right there, and that's going to cost you $58 for me to take time to get that all apart and put back together or whatever. You want a mechanic who knows. How about somebody building your house? You don't want him to go, let's see, I think the pipes, the bathroom's here. Oh, yeah, the bath. They got it. We need to connect the pipes with the bathroom. Yeah, right. Okay. Whoa. What's the problem? He doesn't know what he's talking about. You need a builder who knows. This world needs Christians who know what they believe. We're not arrogant about it. Hopefully, we're gracious. Hopefully, we're still learning. The arrogant person is unteachable. The confident person knows areas and knows what he doesn't know or what she doesn't know. John writes that we might know with assurance about these eight things. And we find them right here in this section of Scripture. Look at your Bible. First, we can know we have eternal life. You can actually know it. Verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. It is nothing to be proud of to say, I'm not sure. I'm a Christian, but I'm just not real sure. Push comes to shove. If eternal life is mine, my friend, get with it. Read the letter of 1 John. Read the Scriptures. You have every reason to know. Even when the day of your deathbed arrives, you will know that you have eternal life. You can be sure of it. Death doesn't stop that, and illness doesn't change that. Life's contingencies don't alter that. You can know by faith in the Son of God that you have eternal life. That isn't arrogant. That's confident. I've never met a mature Christian or a maturing Christian who didn't know that they possessed eternal life. Now, when you've got it, you don't flaunt it. When you've got it, you share it, which we'll get to later on. The second thing we can know has to do with prayer, 14 to 17. Look at this. Love the verse. This is the confidence. Isn't that great? This is the confidence which we have before him. What? That if we ask, what's the word? Anything. But don't stop reading there. We're in the middle of the sentence. Some stop reading there. They look for a new car in the driveway. But I asked for that new X5 BMW. And I looked out there the next morning, same old pickup. I thought God said if I ask anything, wait a minute, that's a half verse, and you're always in dangerous territory when you come to half verses. Cults are full of them. False teachers love them. Let's not use a half verse. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will that instantly moves this from the convenient device of imposing our will on God or bending His will to our wish. According to your will, O God, I pray this. Sound familiar? Of course it does. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, O Father, I pray that the cup will pass from me. Nevertheless, I mean, his breath is hardly out of his mouth before he adds, nevertheless, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The Father's answer is no. My will is the cross. Go there. By the way, God can answer only one of three ways. Very simple. He can answer yes. We love that. Just love it. He can answer no. He can also answer wait. And wait seems a lot like no if you're impatient. You will interpret wait as, well, God doesn't want to, wait a minute. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up as with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. So we ask with confidence, anything according to his will. That is the turning point. Every true prayer is a variation on that theme. Repeat. Every true prayer is a variation on that theme. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. God's will in this, I trust you, Father, to guide me into your will. When he guides us into his will and the door opens and we walk through, we can know we are exactly where he would have us go. When he doesn't want us to go, the door slams shut. By the way, it's a lot easier to read closed doors than open doors. Closed doors are obvious. And you're stopped in your tracks. May I help you? Don't ever try to push a closed door open. You may feel courageous, or you may feel persistent in doing it. If the door's closed, leave it closed. The answer is no. If the door is looking like it may be closing, but it's not yet closed, it's a wait answer. So wait. But we can know when that door is open and we have the request we ask of him, then we will get it.
You're listening to Insight for Living and Chuck Swindoll's message about absolute assurance. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. There's much more from this study in 1 John chapter 5 we need to hear. And to listen to these programs at your own pace, or to go back and catch up on programs you may have missed, you can easily listen online at insight.org. Or simply download the daily podcast directly to your mobile device. Plus, remember that you have access to the free study notes at insightworld.org/studies. Feel free to print out these helpful notes and distribute them to your friends as you see fit. These free resources are made possible in part through voluntary donations from friends and our monthly companions. Together, we're bringing a message of grace to men and women who feel oppressed by the pressing issues of our times. And as a result of the global pandemic, along with the social unrest taking over in some places around the world, we're feeling a renewed sense of urgency to spread the message of God's love, just as the Apostle John did through his first century letter. The languishing impact of the coronavirus has fueled our fire to take this message to your entire community and to all 195 countries of the world. And with boldness, we're calling on you to join us. Together, we can implement the Great Commission of Jesus by making disciples around the world through radio, our website, the mobile app, CDs, books, DVDs, the podcast, live streaming, and more. We're seizing every opportunity to tell the world about the supreme significance of God's love. Whatever amount he prompts you to give is deeply valued. No gift is too small. And perhaps the best way to maximize your giving is to become a monthly giver. We call them monthly companions. To become a monthly companion today, go to insight.org/monthly companion or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Most of us have been heartbroken to witness civil unrest in the public square, eclipsing the urgent medical needs imposed by the global pandemic. At Insight for Living Ministries, we believe there's never been a better time to extend God's grace to those in need.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
We're looking to add more monthly companions to the team. Become a monthly companion today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
To become a monthly companion, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues his message about absolute assurance right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Absolute Assurance, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.